getting you ready for the day the only way they can.
Deshaun had to play through a nagging injuries today.
Nagging?
Mike Meltzer.
Hot take. I hate Fruit Loops.
Original Texan Seth Payne.
I feel weird talking to men.
Paul Gallant. Houston's Sports Morning starts now with Mad Radio on Houston's Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Second and 10, Bills from their 25. Peterman takes the snap. He's looking left. He throws that way. It's picked off by Jonathan Joseph across the 15, 10, 5. Rock and roll. The Texans go in front on the pick six. Third down at 6, Bills from their 30. Peterman in the gut. Here's the snap. Four-man rush. Peterman flushed out to the right side. Trying to throw it back to the left. And this is picked off. Taken across the 30 right side. 25 and out of bounds at the 20-yard line. Kareem Jackson with the icing on the cake.
In the air, left field. That is slicing. Down in the corner. And it is off the wall. Two runs are in. And Devers is going to score. It's a three-run double. Jackie Bradley Jr. It's down. Devers will score. Leon, the third, in the second with an RBI double, is Mookie Betts.
Thanks for nothing, Hector Rendon. We are into the 7 o'clock hour. Astros fall in game 2 of the ALCS. Texans win against the Buffalo Bills 20-13. We've got a lot that we are juggling this morning between these two games.
You said it best at the beginning of the show when you said you're more upset with the Texans win than you are with the Red Sox loss. Is that about how
the Astros lost? Yes.
What did I say? Astros lost. Did I say the Red Sox? Whatever.
Yeah, the Astros lost.
You're more upset with the win than you are with the loss. In terms of how you feel about the team. Look, the Red Sox are an awesome baseball team. You might say they're a 108 win baseball team, and you're not gonna sweep that team, and it's very unlikely you're gonna go 2-0 at home. It's the fact that Garrett Cole struggled like he did shook my foundations a little bit. I didn't know how to process it at first.
Well, it didn't necessarily shake my foundation per se. It was more just the opportunity that you had such a good game one, and you piled on those runs late, and you made it basically a laugh for everybody leaving Fenway Park early in the ninth inning. And then the next day, you get up to an okay start after a 2-0 hole. Springer, then Marwin Gonzalez. You're up 4-2 with Garrett Cole on the mound. You're thinking, okay, this is a great opportunity here, given the way Cole has looked, to get to 2-0 up in this series, and they weren't able to take advantage. And now, the concerning thing is, while the Astros' overall depth in starting pitching is good, I don't know that we can say they've got a clear edge in either game 3 or game 4 with Keuchel and Charlie Morton going on Tuesday and Wednesday respectively.
Right. So
that's kind of my
theme. With Justin Verlander in game 5 at home before you have to go back to Baltimore, and that's all of a sudden it feels like you realize you only have like 2 days left in vacation and you get kind of desperate when you're a kid. It feels like that to me. That all of a sudden I don't feel like this is coming to a close too soon. The end is coming near. You guys both gave me blank looks. Did you not go on vacation as kids?
I did a few times. Yes.
Did you worry? Did you ever think like, oh crap, only 2 days left. I got to get some stuff done.
Very often I would actually think to myself, yeah, I'm ready to be back.
Oh really?
Yeah. The last couple of days, usually nothing ever would end up happening on those family vacations. Everyone was just tired and lying around and stuff. And I was like, all right, let's go home.
Yeah. Maybe your kids probably supervised you too much. I'd just go off and do stuff. Just take the city bus somewhere. I got to do whatever the hell I wanted. Some of these parents these days, I get a little, yeah, like there's a lot of stuff I want to let my daughter do, but I think it's frowned upon, at least in my community. Everybody's so damn overprotective. Like, I would totally let my child just take the bus anywhere they wanted, because I feel like that's how you learn a little. I give her some mace and off you go. But that's frowned upon these days.
The first time I took the bus to go to the mall with my friends, I didn't even get, like, affirmative permission from my parents. I just kind of casually mentioned to my dad, like, oh, yeah, we just took the bus to the mall.
Yeah.
And he was cool with it. So
yeah,
I was like, all right.
Cool with it, yeah.
He was cool with it. So I'm like, all right, I guess this is all on the up and up.
Well, I bet crime back in the old Soviet Union was pretty low. It was probably low.
Yes.
It was like, as meager as everything else was, you probably didn't have to walk around in fear of getting mugged. Because nobody had money anyway.
The good part about the Soviet Union would be not a lot of crime, no drugs.
Not a lot of crime, not a lot of liberty, but, you know,
yes.
Trade-off.
They
no drugs.
No drugs. You could not find cocaine, marijuana, that kind of stuff.
Led to the fall of the wall. We needed the untold
story.
They
were just digging for the cocaine.
The untold story of the Ruskies wanting some blow.
I don't feel bad overall, though, and how could you? The Astros went into Fenway Park. They took a game of the first two, obviously, and that's usually the formula.
They still win this in five.
I picked them in six games. It's on pace to do that. Verlander was good. He had the one bad inning in the fifth. I give A.J. Hinch credit. He came back, and he got those three big outs in the sixth, and Presley, McCullers, and obviously after that point, the game was over when they brought in McHugh. Great job by Reddick. Great job by Yuli. That was a tremendous job in the ninth inning on Saturday. So I don't want to be like overly negative on a Monday morning. I thought they did a fine job this weekend. And now to me, the way, you know, I look at this series, you take two at home and you're in good shape.
I'm feeling good going forward. I feel like now you've learned who you can use in your bullpen and who you can't use in your bullpen. I think you can use Lance McCullers more. You're just going to have to make sure you have the correct catcher in the game. I mean, Maldonado dropping two of those balls, that just can't happen. You can't have that happen with a guy like Mookie Betts on base who's extremely quick.
Gosh, he's fast.
And on top of that too, I mean, that's just like little league stuff. If you're going to give up a run where it's a pass ball, it's a wild pitch, it's another pass ball, that just can't happen. But you saw a great performance out of Ryan Presley. And once again, Colin McHugh came in there and was lights out too. Those two guys are the people that you can really rely on in this bullpen. And the real question is, all right, what are you going to get out of Dallas Keuchel at home in game three?
Yes.
And I really do not know what to expect out of Dallas Keuchel, because for the most part this season, he has struggled in the first inning and then he calms down.
Yeah.
Struggling in the first inning against the Boston Red Sox is not a good thing to do.
No.
The keeping Garrett Cole in and not having to tax your relievers too much yesterday, hopefully that pays dividends at the end of the series. It's a question of, okay, is it going to be a 6-game series, is it going to be a 7-game series? You're more upset about the Astros' inability to abuse the relievers late in the game.
They're three innings, and I think Matt Barnes sucks.
Let me ask you this though: did you feel like they had particularly less discipline, because there were some pretty good at bats? They just didn't end up getting the better of it.
The good at bat was specifically from Tony Kemp. Tony Kemp's at bat felt against
Altuve had a long one too.
True, but he was behind the whole time, wasn't he? And I suppose they were throwing strikes, and if you're throwing strikes, you just have to swing at everything. But I felt that there were a couple of one pitch at bats. I hate one pitch at bats. I really do. If they're going to result to end in outs, because I feel like you want to make the relief pitcher sweat a little bit. And just having watched Boston, especially their series with New York's historically, typically that's how the series are won. It's because one team takes a ton of pitches and the other team's pitching eventually gets worn out. And I felt that would have been a better approach against these bullpen guys. They made it a little easier than they, I think, needed to. Maybe it's because they're being aggressive, and hey, I don't want to tell them to stop being aggressive because it's worked for them all season long. But I feel like against those guys in particular, make them sweat it out a little more.
We got to get to the bottom of the dreadlocks conversation. Cloudy bringing down Chris Sy for you.
So basically, DeAndre Hopkins, when he was on Arian's podcast, one of our listeners informed us wrong. What he said was that you're not supposed to call them dreads, you're supposed to call them locks because of the connotations to dread. So do we have a caller on this?
We do, yes.
Oh, all right. Yes. Okay, why don't you let me talk. Okay.
Mike on Mad Radio. Mike, good morning. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, fellas. So I'm liking the young crowd as far as dreads and stuff goes. You know, when people from Katrina came out here and I first saw them, you know, ever since I was in middle school, they called them dreads. All through high school and college, I would hear people call them dreads. As far as dreadlocks, it's like for the older crowd, like, hey, what are those dreadlocks? But dreads, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, but now the young folk like DeAndre are saying you're not supposed to call them dreads, you're supposed to call them locks because the connotations around dread, and that it's like kind of saying like, oh, you're supposed to dread black people or whatever it might be. How do you feel about that?
Oh, wow. Well, see, I didn't see that. He's already in the older crowd now, so I guess it's interpreted a little different nowadays. You know, they get a lot more technical with it. But that, you know, how I grew up and how I see them is dread.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure a lot of African American people see it the same way.
It says the style supposedly based on that of East African warriors, so called from the dread they presumably aroused in beholders. But here's the other side. I don't know when they started calling them dreadlocks. In Rastafarian society, the dread was your fear of the Lord, which would be the complete opposite. So I don't know what the hell I'm supposed to do now. I'm going to keep calling them dreads because that's the way I was raised. You know what? And it's not like my racist granddaddy was like, listen, son, you call them dread. Like my grandfather, first of all, he wasn't racist. Second, well, I mean, he's old, you know. But
applying a standard.
But that's what the kids that I grew up with called them. So I'm going to call them dreads.
And I think first off, we have to give Jadeveon Clowney a lot of credit for realizing that the dread is a part of an NFL player's uniform. And on top of that, Chris Ivory has one very strong dread.
No, yes. He's got an individual lock. That's a lock. Yeah, that's the individual lock. We've learned that.
Okay,
for sure.
So we're definitive.
The individual strand is a lock.
Okay,
whatever you want to call them is like he's got dreads or he's got locks. I don't. I'm not willing to commit to one side in this argument, which I'm not even so sure is an argument at this point.